Welcome, everybody. Okay, so for those of you who don't know me yet, my name is Linda, and this is our last class of Mind and Its Potential. So this is class 6 of 6, module number 1, Mind and Its Potential. So we will have a 1-week break, so no class next Monday. That's February 15th, and then we will start module number 2, on the following Monday, and that would be Monday, February 22nd, and that will be another 6-session module for how to meditate. And Dr. Don Brown, the Kadampa Center's founder, will be leading us through the how to meditate module. So this is the really important announcement. So as of like going forward from here on out, Discovering Buddhism students will be required to enroll in order to receive or be able to obtain course material. So that would be all the online readings and the homework that I post and the information sheet. All you'll need to do is simply go to the Kadampa Center website. And then probably the easiest way to get to it is go to the calendar, which is up in that top right-hand corner. Just click on the calendar or the Discovering Buddhism link that you can access under spiritual programs, and that will lead you to the enrollment page. For the enrollment page, you're simply going to put your first and last name and your email address. Phone number is optional. And then you will be enrolled, and immediately you will receive an enrollment confirmation page online, and you will also receive an enrollment confirmation via your email. And in that email, very important that you save that information, because you will receive a username and a password. And so then you will be able to access the Kadampa Center website by simply going to kadampa-center.org/user and entering that username and password. That'll bring you to a protected page where all of the Discovering Buddhism materials are now residing. If you have questions or don't understand or have a problem or an issue, simply email me and I will put my email, Kadampa Center email address, in the chat box for everyone. But in case, or for those of you streaming on YouTube, you can reach me at program.db@kadampa-center.org. So again, for questions, concerns, if you're having trouble enrolling in Discovering Buddhism, please email me. Again, that is program.db@kadampa-center.org. All right, any questions about that enrollment before we get started? One more thing I want to say. With that enrollment, you will also have access to set up your FPMT, Discovering Buddhism account, and receive the enrollment keys as an enrolled Discovering Buddhism student. So again, if you have any questions, just let me know, okay? And I'll be sure to help you out with that. All right.
How does this start?
This starts as of the next module.
Okay, because I registered and I got some weird stuff. So I should wait or something before I try to register?
You should be able to go ahead and register now for the next module.
Yeah, I won't waste time now with it, but it didn't work out.
All right, hang on at the end and maybe we can talk through that.
Okay.
Okay. All right, I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to Robbie now.
Okay. Okay, thank you, Linda.
Absolutely.
And good to see everyone again. I hope everybody's staying healthy and well. As Linda said, this is the last of our classes in this module. This module is about getting a little bit of understanding of what the Buddha was talking about when he was talking about the mind or our consciousness. And this is the basis for all the modules that are to follow, because all of the modules that follow are about working with that mind. So we have to understand what we're working with. None of this is to be taken on faith, blind faith, or because the Buddha said it, or because I'm trying to rephrase what the Buddha said. This is really something that can be tested against your own experience by looking at your mind in meditation and seeing if you agree or disagree with what the Buddha said. You don't have to accept any of it. But this is an area of Buddhism that really can be tested against your own experience. There's, you know, karma is a little bit more difficult to understand or read or some other things. But what the mind is, Buddha figured it out by just sitting in meditation under the Bodhi tree, and we can all do the same thing. So we've covered most of the material of module. Tonight we're going to be doing a series of review meditations, and there'll be time at the end for any questions you have. So you may want to get those clear in your mind, not during the meditation, because you will be concentrating on the meditation, but in between the meditation sessions, if you have specific questions, you can start to formulate those. So we'll begin with our prayers as usual. So if Linda, you can bring those up on our screen. Okay, thank you. So I'll read these in English. You can read along with me, but keep your computer on mute. Otherwise, it gets all out of sync and kind of chaotic. So I'll do refuge and bodhicitta three times, four immeasurables, and then the mandala offering with the hand mudra, if you're familiar with that. Probably we discuss more into how to meditate module. So taking refuge and generating bodhicitta. I go for refuge until I'm enlightened to the Buddha, the Dharma, and the Supreme Assembly. By the merits I create through listening to the Dharma, may I become a Buddha to benefit all sentient beings. I go for refuge until I am enlightened to the Buddha, the Dharma, and the Supreme Assembly. By the merits I create through listening to the Dharma, may I become a Buddha to benefit all sentient beings. I go for refuge until I am enlightened to the Buddha, the Dharma, and the Supreme Assembly. By the merits I create through listening to the Dharma, may I become a Buddha to benefit all sentient beings. May all sentient beings have happiness and causes of happiness. May all sentient beings be free from suffering and the causes of suffering. May all sentient beings be inseparable from the happiness that is free from suffering. May all sentient beings abide in equanimity, free from attachment for friends or hatred for enemies. This ground, anointed with perfume, strewn with flowers, adorned with Mount Meru, four continents, the sun and the moon, I imagine this as a Buddha field and offering. May all living beings enjoy this pure land. Idam Guru Ratna Mandala Kam Niryata Yami. Those are our introductory prayers. As we can see, they're in the forms of aspirations, things that we aspire to. They're planting positive mental imprints on our mind stream. And that helps to soften our mind a little bit for the meditation that's to follow. So we'll do our first meditation. We begin by checking our posture. I think most of us have become familiar with it by now. Most of us are sitting in a chair, so we're not leaning back in the chair. but sitting straight, our back a little straighter than we normally sit. Our head maybe just a couple degrees in the vertical. Our eyes either slightly open, letting in just a little bit of light, but not enough so that we actually perceive objects, or very lightly closed. Our mouth is lightly closed, not clenched, our jaws relaxed. Our tongue is on the hard palate above our upper teeth. Our shoulders are down and a little bit back, so our chest is slightly open. Our upper arms are away from the sides of our torso. Our hands are slightly below the level of our navel, right on left, symbolizing the union of wisdom and compassion that is enlightenment, with our thumbs lightly touching. If we're sitting in a chair, our feet are flat on the floor. It can be on a cushion if we need that. If we're sitting on a cushion, we're a little bit to the front of the cushion, and our legs are crossed in a position that we find comfortable. So we'll begin by just scanning our body from top to toe, identifying any sources of tension or discomfort. Address those now so they don't become a recurring theme during the meditation. And we begin by taking three deep breaths from the abdomen, stomach expanding on the in-breath with our diaphragm pulled down. Our lungs are really full. And then the stomach contracts towards the spine on the out-breath. We do that three times. And now we allow our breath to return to its normal pattern. And we begin our meditation by setting our motivation. And any motivation is fine. If we just want a little peace and quiet at the end of the day, that's great. If we want to develop our mind to become a little bit more concentrated, wonderful. But that the most powerful, the most meaningful motivation is the bodhicitta motivation, the motivation of the great mind, the mind that aspires to enlightenment for the benefit of all sentient beings, not just for oneself, but for all sentient beings. And that's not a way we normally think, but it's a quality we can develop in our mind, first with effort and then with more time, it becomes more natural, so that everything we do, from getting up in the morning, brushing our teeth, going to work, fixing dinner, coming to Kadampa Center, is done for the benefit of everyone. That's the motivation for everything we do. And when we've completely developed that quality, we're said to be a bodhisattva, a great being. Not yet a Buddha, but a very great being. So we can begin by just thinking along those lines for a moment. And having set our motivation, we'll now do our well-practiced breathing meditation, developing the mind's ability to concentrate. For most of us, that ability is fairly weak, but it can be developed, just like a muscle that we exercise. The ability to keep the mind on one chosen object. So the chosen object is the tactile sensation of breath moving in and out through our nostrils. And we just place our awareness on that one phenomena, movement of air through the nostrils. Nothing more, nothing less than that. And every time our mind wanders off, as it inevitably will, like a child that wanders off the path, we take them by the hand and gently bring them back in the same way we gently bring our mind back to the object. And that's the way we develop our concentration, and that's the meditation. Meditation becoming familiar with. We're becoming familiar with the mind's ability to concentrate. The ability or the potential is there, but we just don't pay any attention to it. We don't acknowledge it. We don't use it. So back to the breath over and over and over again for about 7 minutes. Thank you. And as always, we can end our meditation with a dedication. We can acknowledge that we've created some positive imprints, however small they may be, by developing our concentration. We've created some positive imprints on our mind stream, and we think may those imprints not be lost, but may they rise and expand in a way that will be of benefit to all living beings. And you can relax your concentration. Okay, so we'll continue with some review meditations and then have a little time for questions at the end. Let's see if I time myself well, so we don't run out of time. So we're talking about mind. The Tibetan word for mind is sem, S-E-M. The Sanskrit word for mind is citta, as in bodhicitta, C-H-I-T-T-A. So we can talk about the characteristics of the mind, what it is, and then we can talk about what it does in the Buddha's view of things. And again, like I say, this is all to be tested against your own experience, both in contemplation and in actual meditation. None of it is to be swallowed hook, line, and sinker. So when we talk about what the mind is, we describe three characteristics of it. It is non-physical, it is without beginning and without end, and its nature is clear. Okay? Or it is in the nature of clear light or clarity. So we'll do a review meditation on those three characteristics of the mind. And this is what we call analytic meditation. The first meditation we did tonight was concentration. This is analytic meditation, or where we use the mind's ability to analyze and think, but not just in a loose, everyday sort of wandering kind of thinking, but a very focused, intense way of thinking where we keep our mind on the object and analyze it. In the same way we kept our mind on the breath, we keep our mind on the chosen object of analysis. And that, a lot of people find that more difficult, or it seems less like meditation, but it is a very important form of meditation, and we need to become familiar with it as we study Buddhism. So we'll do our second meditation of the evening. You can wiggle around, and let's see, get comfortable, and then maybe we'll do some comments or questions after this meditation. So again, we won't read the prayers again before this meditation, but we will again establish our posture. Everybody's familiar with that, so I'm not going to say anything about it. If you want, you can put a cushion behind your lower back. If sitting in a chair in this way becomes uncomfortable, to give you a little bit of extra support, not cheating at all. And check your posture. Three deep breaths from the abdomen. Set your motivation. And start with just a couple another minutes of concentration meditation, awareness of the tactile sensation of the breath, the movement of the air in and out through our nostrils. We'll do that for 2 minutes. Thank you. And now we begin our review meditation on the nature of the mind. The first characteristic of the mind, or of consciousness, is that it is completely non-physical. It's not the body. It's not our sense organs, our eyes or ears. It's not even our brain. It is every aspect of our being that is non-physical. The mind or consciousness is completely non-physical. So just think about that. What does that mean? What does that imply? Is the mind limited by the physical characteristics of the body? Or is the mind free of those limitations? What does it mean to say that the mind is non-physical? The second characteristic of the mind, of the consciousness, is that it is without beginning and it is without end. We cannot find the first moment of our consciousness. We just follow back moments of consciousness today, yesterday, last week, a month ago, a year ago, 5 years ago. I don't remember everything, but we can see that there is an unbroken stream of consciousness stretching back, back, and back, until with our limited mind, our limited awareness in this lifetime, we can no longer remember. But we cannot find a first moment of mind. There is always a previous mental moment. If we look at the mind now, this mental moment always leads to another mental moment, leads to another, and on and on. And according to the Buddha, there will never be a last mental moment. There will never be a time when this consciousness of mine ceases to exist. Stretches backwards in time without beginning and goes forward in time without end. A continuous string of mental moments. Even when we're asleep, even when we're in a coma, there is still, at some level, a consciousness. And that when this body decays, the physical aspect, the non-physical aspect continues. So just think about that. What does that imply? What does that mean? Does it mean anything, or is it just an interesting intellectual concept? Or does it have implications for how I live my life? And the third characteristic of the mind is that its ultimate nature is of clear light, of clarity, of empty space. That the thoughts that occur within the space of the mind are not permanent, are not fixed, and do not represent the true nature of the mind. They are temporary phenomena occurring within the clear space of the mind. And this is where analogies like a perfectly clear sky or perfectly clear water or a perfect flawless mirror. These are images that help us understand this nature of the mind. The thoughts are not the permanent nature of the mind. The ultimate nature of the mind, which we're largely unaware of, is clarity, clearness. We could even say emptiness. So just think about that, and what are the implications of that, and how does it differ from how I usually relate to my mind and my feelings and my personality? So just remember three characteristics of mind: non-physical, without beginning, without end, and has a nature of clarity. And you can relax your concentration. Let's see, Linda, do we have any comments or questions so far?
We do. Let's see here. Lori says, from where does intention arise? Is it part of karmic imprint?
Okay. Where does intention arise? Well, it's definitely as a result of karma, yes. The intention to do certain actions or the motivation or the attractions, it all comes from various karmic imprints. Okay, so I think we could say that is the result of past actions of body, speech, and mind create our intentions to do things now and our attraction to doing certain things and our distaste for doing other things. So it sounds like we're almost powerless if you think about it, but we do have some volition in there as a result of past good karma, but to a large degree, we're under the control of past karma, and that means we have to be very careful about the karma that we're creating from here on out, what kind of imprints we're putting on our mind. Yeah, okay. Any other comments, Linda, or questions?
Not that I see, although a student shared that meditation was intense.
Was what?
Intense. I don't know if it was a good intense or a bad intense.
Okay. Oh. Okay. So, that was our meditation.
Oh, can I ask you one small thing?
Of course.
So the imprints, sometimes people ask, oh, what did you do today? So I feel like we go through all the day and then going backwards to tell the story is like putting those imprints back again. Is that sometimes it bothers me when I go back.
Because
the information and come through. And then people want to know.
Something happens to us and then we create a story around it, and that's creating even more karmic imprints. And that's according to the Buddha and according to Venerable Ravina, that's just habits. That's the way we, that's just a bad habit we have, and we have to learn to break our bad habits, which doesn't mean it's easy necessarily. But, when we build these stories up, they usually have an emotional edge to them, you know, some resentment or some anger. That's creating more negative karma there by thinking in that way. And by reliving things over and over, we're just reinforcing them and making those karmic imprints all the stronger. So that's where I think just developing a meditation practice can help. And thinking along these lines of the, you know, what the nature of the mind is, those are just thoughts passing through. We don't have to dwell on it. We don't have to grab onto them. We don't have to give them a life of their own. Yeah. Okay. So those are the three characteristics of the mind. And then what does the mind do? It is aware. And I talked about this in a couple different ways. Awareness, it's an active process. One definition, it is referred to as a cognitive taking on of an object, which is good. It's a little wordy, but it means being aware of this pen, means my mind cognitively take on this object. Okay? There's a pen. My mind is aware of it. Takes on. So there's almost a union between the two. Or we can say that the mind engages with the pen. Okay? Or the mind is aware of the pen. And that's what the mind does. It is aware of physical objects and mental objects, memories, emotions, planning, everything that occurs there that we're aware of in our mind is an object that our mind is engaging with. Okay, so we have a series of thoughts or perceptions. Our mind engages with them one after another. This is where we get the very simple definition of the mind, but very kind of profound in a way. Our mind or consciousness is mere clarity and awareness. Clarity is its nature. Awareness is what it does. And the Tibetan for that, as I've said, is Syam Gyal Rig, with rig being awareness. Rig is the word you'll hear in a lot of other contexts. Mere clarity and awareness. An image that's used is the mind is like a perfect mirror that reflects. It reflects the pen. It reflects my irritation about something that happened at work today. It reflects my anticipation of something fun I'm going to do tomorrow. Just reflects one thing after another. But the mind itself is clarity and awareness. Mere clarity and awareness. We can find nothing else in this non-physical aspect of our being. What we think of as personality and the way I am and me, Robbie, as a real solid thing, it just comes down to clarity and awareness. Mere clarity and awareness. Nothing more than that. Okay, so let's do another meditation. Say, okay, move along. Check your posture. Set your motivation. Just a minute of breathing meditation, concentration. And now we'll take our concentration and just look at the nonstop parade of thoughts moving through our consciousness. Sounds, touches, memories, plans, emotions, one after another. Different objects that our mind engages with. And don't get stuck on them, just acknowledge. And just think engagement, engagement, engagement. I hear a sound, that's engagement. I feel the chair underneath my buttocks, engagement, engagement. If that helps, or just acknowledge thought, thought, thought. Just look at the non-stop, seemingly random pattern of thoughts moving through the mind. Thought after thought after thought after thought. And now draw back and see if you get a sense of the clear space of the mind in which those thoughts arise, exist, and go out of existence. They're just temporary. One after another. other, but that's not the mind. The mind is the empty space in which the thoughts occur. It's the empty space of the sky in which the stars exist. Or it's like an empty stage that actors enter and leave. The mind is not the thoughts. It is the space in which the thoughts occur. There is the non-stopping stream of awarenesses, and there's the clarity in which they occur. Mere clarity and awareness. Look and see if you can find anything else there. Anything more than the clarity and the stream of awareness. And you can relax your concentration. Let's see. Okay, and here's a question from Meredith. In the readings, His Holiness Dalai Lama said that, quote, the mind came into existence because of its own cause. But that sounds like the mind started at some point. I don't understand that. Okay, that's a good question. Yeah, we have to get clear on how he's using these words here. First, everything that exists is caused. Nothing in the Buddhist view of the world, nothing exists without causes, which is karma. Everything exists because of karma. There's nothing that just exists independently of a cause. They say that the Buddha says, you know, you can't imagine that. It's impossible for something to exist without having a cause to exist. And what His Holiness is referring to here is a specific moment of mind. My mind at this moment in time. What's the cause of that? The cause is a previous moment of mind, which was caused by a previous moment of mind, which was caused by a previous moment of mind. So he's saying that every moment of awareness or consciousness has a cause, and that cause is a previous mental moment. Okay. It's not caused by a physical phenomenon, because mind is non-physical, and something non-physical cannot be caused by something physical. So he's saying that every moment of mind is caused by the previous moment of mind, and that's what causes it to come in being. Now, it seems like when we sit in meditation, our thoughts are just random and scattered and all over the place, but they're caused by our karma, okay? It's under the control of our karma. And then as we become aware of that and we begin to work on our karma, we can change that. We have some more control over the mind and over this procession of thoughts. So don't get discouraged if when you sit in meditation initially, it seems very scattered. That's actually a very important awareness to become aware of all these thoughts. So I think, let's see, do we have any other questions tonight? Comments? That's the gist of the course. And I just hope people take this as being a very hopeful message that the Buddha is giving us here. The fact that our mind is clear, has no fixed characteristics other than its clarity and its ability to be aware, that gives our mind infinite potential. According to the Buddha, there's no limit to the potential of our mind. And that applies equally to all of us. And that's because our mind is mere clarity and awareness. That means potential is infinite. Now, we've all developed certain habits so that certain thoughts come up over and over and over again. And those habits may make us happy or they may cause us to suffer. And if we decide we don't want to suffer, then we have the ability to change habits. Because the mind is clarity, we can change the awarenesses that occur to our mind. And that's what the process of training our mind in all the teachings of the Buddha is about. It's about developing those positive awarenesses that bring happiness to ourselves and ultimately to others. And that's because the mind is clear and has no fixed qualities that we can do that. Let's see, we have one more comment from Will. When we do targeted meditations, my mind seems to go deep. I get colors, my breathing slows way down. I even find it hard to come out. I see problems there. it sounds like you're very aware of what's going on. Yeah, so I would say just explore that. I wouldn't say that there's anything there to push away or to be afraid of. Just go with the experience and look at your mind and see what it's doing. Yeah, I don't know if that's helpful, but that sounds okay. Is the characteristic of being non-physical related to being beingless? Because if it was physical, it'd be dependent. Well, non-physical phenomena are dependent also, okay? This is not the subject of this module, but non-physical phenomena are dependent phenomena also. So it's not really beingless. And that's brings up a good point. None of this is saying that
she's saying beginningless.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought it said being. I'm misread. Is the characteristic of being non-physical related to being beginningless? Because if it was physical, it'd be dependent. Well, again, non-physical is still dependent on previous non-physical phenomena. Okay? So they're kind of related. That's your point. Okay, that's a good point. If it is physical, it would have a beginning. Our physical body, we can point to a beginning. Egg and sperm come together, okay? That is the beginning of our body as we define it conventionally. Yeah, so physical phenomena decay and come into existence and go out of existence. Good point, yeah. Okay. And anything else?
That's all I'm seeing as well.
Okay. Well, I hope I've enjoyed this. I hope you've gotten something out of it. I hope this lays a good groundwork for the next 2 years of discovering Buddhism. I'd like to thank Linda for all her work in keeping us organized and being so helpful. And I'd like to thank everybody for attending. And please do stay healthy during this crazy time. And I'd strongly recommend the next module, How to Meditate. You'll definitely got some experience in this module, but there'll be a lot more. And it's really great at teaching that one. So thank you very much.
Absolutely. Thank you. Big, big, big thanks to you, Robbie. And before everyone signs off, I do want to review. I'm getting some questions in the chat about the DB material. So I'm going to say that again at the end of class, since folks were joining probably after I had said it. So moving forward from here on out with Discovering Buddhism courses at Kadampa Center, students will need to enroll. And so simply go to kadampa-center.org and then either click on spiritual program and then beginner program, which will lead you to Discovering Buddhism, or go to the upper right corner where there's the calendar and you can click on next module's link. So again, we don't have class next week on the 15th, but How to Meditate will start on the 22nd. So click on that link and that will prompt you to enroll in that module. Once you've enrolled for Discovering Buddhism, on the website, you will receive a Zoom link. You can still watch via YouTube as well, so you won't need that Zoom link if you prefer to watch on YouTube. But if you do want the course, access to the course materials, so again, that's like the information page that I post, the homework, as well as all of the required readings, you will need to enroll in Discovering Buddhism moving forward from here on out. If you have any questions about that, please contact me. You can email me if you have questions or problems or you need help. And again, I had put it earlier in the chat. If you want to scroll up, you can grab it there. Or my email is program.db@kadampa-center.org. So again, program.db@kadampa-center.org. If you have any questions, don't hesitate to email me. And hopefully I do encourage you all to enroll and continue the course with us. Thank you again so much, Robbie. Yes, of course.
I just want to say, I just want to reassure people that we're not letting them enroll because we're trying to capture data or anything like that. This is based on our relationship with the FPMT, which is the owner of the Discovering Buddhism and the copyrights on it. But we're not collecting data that's shared or anything like that. So don't let that hold you back from enrolling.
Thank you so much for clarifying that, Robbie.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, I get a little nervous anytime when I have to give out information in this day and age.
And all we're getting
is nothing nefarious going on behind the scenes.
All you need to register is your first name, last name, and an email address. That's it. Thanks so much for joining us, you guys. I'll see you in a couple of weeks. On February 22nd.
Sorry. I always did that. Whenever I had to register for classes, you register. I don't think you can join into Zoom without it.
This is different, Naga. This will be to also get the course materials, access all the course materials and everything will be behind the scenes now. Again, as Robbie mentioned, due to FPMT, rules basically. So yeah, you did have to register before to receive a Zoom link, but this is actually enrolling in the Discovering Buddhism course now. So it's a little different. Materials are like behind the scenes and password protected.
So. Now we have to really study them.
Same as it ever was, just a step to get to the materials. And Loretta says, I enrolled already, got confirmation. Yes, so it is easy, but if there is a problem, don't hesitate to email me. I'll be glad to walk you through the steps or try to help figure out if there's any problems. All right, you guys, any last minute questions for me? Otherwise, I'll see you in 2 weeks. All right, for How to Meditate. It's another good one with Dr. Don Brown.